We're going to go ahead and get started, everyone. I want to be respectful of your time. All right, thanks for coming out so early this morning. This is Internet Explorer App Compat, and I'm Fred Pullen on the IE team. I primarily want to talk about an exciting new development that we released last month called Enterprise Mode for Internet Explorer 11. And I'm going to be covering today a few different things. I'm going to be spending as much time in demo and in Q&A as I possibly can. But I did want to cover off at a high level why we developed Enterprise Mode, what Enterprise Mode brings to the table. I'll cover off how you can manage Enterprise Mode and go into a lot of detail on the registry keys and group policies that you can use for management. We'll go into a demo where I'll show you how to use all of these things, including how to set up your own collection point. And then we'll close out with some early results we're getting back from customers like yourself. And frankly, if any of you have your own experiences, good or bad, love to hear them as well. Feel free to share. Now, since the session is going to be recorded, if you do have a comment or a question, please come up to a microphone. I don't mind getting interrupted throughout the presentation. We can make it as interactive as possible. It's sometimes a little challenging, but we will finish on time. So, I may ask you to sideline some things. I'm happy to stay afterwards as long as it takes to answer all your questions. But we do want to finish on time to be respectful for everybody. All right, let's go ahead and get started. So there's a conflict today between the old and the new. There's a conflict between needing a web browser that supports modern web standards for modern web services. It's not just Office 365 that requires the latest, greatest standards. It's also even things like Gmail that have an N-1 policy of only supporting the last couple of browsers. There are lots of public-facing websites and services that require HTML5, CSS3, sometimes even WebGL and other modern standards. At the same time, we realize that many large companies have standardized on, in many cases, Internet Explorer 8 or previous era CRM systems or ERP systems, you know, large web apps that you rely on a daily basis to do your jobs. So there's this conflict today between these larger legacy ERP, CRM, you know, large accounting systems that may have been standardized on IE8 and new websites and standards. And frankly, there are many customers who are considering running more than one browser in an environment, which obviously increases the cost, adds to complexity, maybe even adds to your attack surface. So there are lots of good reasons why standardizing on one browser, maybe letting people use other browsers if they need to, but standardizing on one browser that provides the best of both worlds for modern compatibility and backward compatibility may make a lot of sense for you. So, show of hands, how many of you at some point standardized on Internet Explorer 8? Yeah, that's about what I expected. So, there's a reason for that. And just to make sure we're all on the same level playing field here, you may have seen me use this slide before, but starting back at IE 6, 7, and 8 on Windows XP, we had 7, 8, and 9 on Vista. Windows 7 supports IE 8 through IE 11. And then Windows 8 on IE 10, Windows 8.1 on IE 11. But many of our customers chose to standardize on IE 8 for a very good reason, because if you're moving from Windows XP up to Windows 7, if you can get up to Internet Explorer 8, it makes the transition up to Windows 7 so much easier. You know, you don't necessarily have to test everything. There are some things that change, like code paths. There are a few things that change, like font rendering, since it's dependent on the underlying OS. But by and large, most of the functions are going to stay the same from IE8 on Windows XP to IE8 on Windows 7. So now customers are starting to evaluate our latest, greatest technology. Not just Internet Explorer 11 for the obvious reasons of modern standards and better reliability, better security, et cetera, but also the next generation of things like Windows 8.1, Surface Pro, Office 365. I mean, there are lots of good reasons to move up to the latest generation of technology, but you know, if you're stuck on IE8, it may be hard to move, which is why we came out with and started developing enterprise mode to provide better IE8 compatibility and tools to manage exactly which websites get that compatibility. The other way to think about enterprise mode, it's kind of interesting. I presented to a group of analysts at Build, and one of the analysts came up to me afterwards and said, okay, I totally get it. Enterprise mode isn't sexy, but it's absolutely necessary. And I think that's a fair characterization. Enterprise mode is providing backward compatibility for IE8 and previous versions of web apps. It's not the sexy stuff, it's what enables the sexy stuff, but it's absolutely necessary for some customers to get up to IE11 and the latest, greatest technology. Now, we did get a lot of feedback from customers saying there are some principles that we wanted to have in place. One of the principles that the engineering team had when they developed enterprise mode, and by the way, it is available for IE11 on Windows 7 and 8.1, so that was one of the principles, was please give us something that makes the transition from Windows 7 easier, you know, to bring us up to 8.1. But another principle was, please don't make our users have to learn anything new. You know, please make it as easy as possible for our users to be able to just run IE11, surf the internet. If they happen to be using a site that requires enterprise mode or some kind of compatibility, great. If they don't, put them in edge mode or whatever the modern standards are. And by the way, enterprise mode does not remove any of the other document modes that are available to you in IE11. You may be sitting there thinking, okay, we've already started testing against IE11. Does this change things? Do I now need to go and retest a bunch of things against IE11 with enterprise mode? And the answer by and large is no. In IE11, we actually have 7 different document modes before you add enterprise mode to the mix. We've got edge mode for modern standards. We've got IE10 document mode, IE9, IE8, IE7. We have IE5 quirks mode, and we have a second quirks mode that was added for compatibility with other web browsers. So that's actually 7 different document modes that you have available today, but let's face it, they're not really up to snuff for a couple of reasons. One is, it's sometimes hard to get your site to render in the right mode. You might be able to go into the F12 developer tools and change the document mode and get it to work properly, and then you have to figure out, all right, how do I actually get this website to render in this mode? You can go in and change the website header and add an XUA compatible meta tag, but that was another principle that our customers gave us, and they said, please don't make me crack open the website. I mean, I'm a former IT pro. I did about 15 years of consulting before joining Microsoft 10 years ago. So I know, if at all possible, I didn't want to step on anybody else's code. If it was working, I didn't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole. So that's one of the principles that our customers gave us, was please don't make me open up a website or a web app and make changes to that web app so that it runs properly. And that's one of the things that's required to render in some of the modes today. They also, those document modes weren't up to snuff for another reason, and that's that they didn't always fix the problem. And we'll go into in a moment some of the changes we made into enterprise mode and how it really differs from compatibility view. Any questions so far? Like I said, I want to make this as interactive as possible. We do have a lot of content to cover, but I'm sure you may have questions along the way. All right, so some of the changes. I often get the question, how is enterprise mode different from compatibility view? Compatibility view was something we introduced in Internet Explorer 8 that provided essentially 2 forms of compatibility. If there is not an explicit doc type in the page that's being rendered, it will actually go down to IE5 quirks mode. If there is an explicit doc type in the page that's being rendered, it will render it in IE7 document mode. So compatibility view was our attempt to really provide that easy button in IE8 era days to say, within IE8, how can we really, really easily render intranet sites, which were by and large written for, you know, IE5, IE7 era web apps. So compatibility view did do a lot of good. I think across time, its value diminished and diminished and diminished. And frankly, a lot of people told us, please take the compatibility view button off of the address bar because my users are stepping on themselves. How many people experienced that as a problem? The people, yeah, okay, thank you. So yeah, there are lots of, it was really easy to discover compatibility view, and unfortunately a lot of people turned it on, and then we got complaints like, hey, I can't upload a picture to Facebook. IE 11 or IE 9 at the time, IE 9 is fail because I can't use Facebook. And of course the first question was, all right, let's go into the compatibility view settings. Have you added the site to compatibility view? Generally they had, and it was a, you know, a little bit of troubleshooting for you. We wanted to make it as easy as possible for you to configure enterprise mode, make it work, and not put a burden of responsibility on your support teams and on you and on your end users to have to know anything there. Some other changes we made between compatibility view and enterprise mode. Engineering went through thousands of changes from IE8 to IE9 to IE10 to IE11, as well as bug reports, application compatibility reports that customers had filed. And what we found was there were certain clusters of issues. One cluster of issues was around the user agent string. There are many, many websites out there that are designed to use user agent string sniffing. They'll say, okay, which browser are you using? And they'll use the header that the browser sends to the website to determine which browser is being used. And unfortunately, a lot of those assumed that there would always be a single digit version number. So IE10 was suddenly interpreted as IE1. IE11 was interpreted as IE1. And there's nothing more frustrating than using the latest operating system and the latest browser and having your 10-year-old website tell you, please upgrade to IE7 or IE8, because it thinks you're running IE1. So that was the first thing, was easy fix. Well, easy for the engineers, not for me. Be able to render the original IE8 user agent string exactly as it was in IE8, no difference. Now you may be wondering, okay, great, I'm a website developer. How do I know with my public-facing website if somebody's coming to my site using enterprise mode? And the short answer is they won't. Another thing we did was we made sure enterprise mode is turned off by default. It's only enabled by IT for certain sites, and I'll get into the details in a minute. But if you are running a public-facing website, you can rest easy. If somebody's coming to your site and turning on enterprise mode, then something's going wrong in a big way. And I think as we go through how it's managed, it'll explain that. Some of the other changes we made for enterprise mode were in ActiveX binaries. Some ActiveX binaries would query the browser and silently fail if they didn't receive an answer that they were expecting. If we just had the browser say, yes, as far as you know, I am IE8, many of those ActiveX controls and other binaries would continue to work where before they would fail. There are some deprecated functions, and this is an oversimplification, but starting in IE6 and even before that, IE6 had a lot of functionality that did not exist as a W3C web standard. The standards didn't exist. Now, Microsoft customers had asked Microsoft, I was a customer myself at the time, we had asked Microsoft for a lot of functionality that didn't exist as a standard. So a lot of this was built right into the browser, and IE6 to IE7 to IE8 had kind of a decreasing number of these proprietary standards. Like I say, it's an oversimplification, but I think for our purposes, the analogy works. IE8 had some modern web standards. IE8 was where we first introduced HTML5, for example, just some rudimentary HTML5 functionality, but it was in the browser. But we also had some of these old proprietary standards. Between IE8 and IE9, we completely reset the browser, complete rewrite from the ground up. So IE9 is our first truly modern standards-based browser, and we built on that for IE9, IE10, and IE11. Well, the bad news, though, is there are many legacy web apps that were based on this proprietary functionality. And so suddenly, starting in IE9, IE10, IE11, some of those web apps were broken. They no longer worked because they were based on the stuff that went away. It was never really a standard. In enterprise mode, we don't bring back everything. We do bring back some functionality that, kind of using the Pareto principle 80-20 rule, we tried to look at the functions that were most often used and brought some of those back into the browser in enterprise mode. And then finally, in IE 11, we do a lot of things to improve the browsing experience. For example, when you pull up Bing.com or Google.com, for that matter, and you do a search, it will pre-cache and pre-render the first page of search results. So that when you click on that first page of search results, what IE 11 actually does is it makes one tab disappear and it makes appear the tab that it's already rendered. So it seems like a very seamless browsing experience. This isn't unique to IE necessarily. Other major browsers do similar tricks, but it makes for a very fast and fluid, seamless browsing experience. The bad news for some older web applications is they break. If you're running a navigation control, for example, and you're going through a purchase order, next step in the purchase order process, next step in the purchase order process, and then all of a sudden the tab disappears from the navigation control, the navigation controls get kind of confused at that point. So in enterprise mode, we turn off some of that functionality as well. Now, I do want to be clear here. Enterprise mode is IE 11 emulating IE 8. We're not running the original IE 8 JavaScript engine. We're not running the original IE 8 binaries in any way. This is IE 11 with better emulation for IE 8. It's not perfect. We tried to work with, we ended up working with over 90 customers. And I'm curious, how many of you were actually in our pilot? Anybody? Couple hands. We had over 90 customers worldwide in a pilot, and a lot of the customers said, yes, it works for our purposes. There were a few that said, no, it doesn't fix this. So it's worth trying. It's worth trying in your own environments. There are a few gotchas, and I'll mention that to you as well throughout the presentation. By the way, I should also mention, this is not a release and forget exercise. Microsoft is committed to continuing enterprise mode, and we're continuing to make investments in making it better. So the good news there is, this is something we released in April. It was part of a minor update to Internet Explorer 11. And I think this is a great example of how we want to release updates that don't necessarily break backward compatibility. In the update last month, we actually introduced enterprise mode, we added some F12 developer tool goodness, and we added some more WebGL standards. So this is a great example of an update that brings functionality to the browser, brings new features, doesn't necessarily break your legacy web apps. All right, so how do you manage this thing? There are two group policies, and there are two corresponding registry keys. So let's go into some detail here. The group policies, basically, you can use either or both of these policies. And the policies are let users turn on and use enterprise mode, and you can configure it to point to the enterprise mode IE website list. This is an XML file that contains the list of locations for which you want enterprise mode to be turned on. And I should explain, why an XML file? I do have customers who tell me, yeah, we actually use the group policies today for IE7 and for IE5 quirks mode. Why can't we just include the list of sites that we want in the group policy itself? And there's two primary reasons for that. One reason is customers told us, I don't want to set this at a domain level necessarily. The group policies that we have today for setting a site in IE7 mode or in IE5 quirks mode work at a domain level. So you can set, if you work at Microsoft, you could set Microsoft.com into IE7 mode. But everything in Microsoft.com would be set to that mode. The good news is for enterprise mode, it's more granular than that. You can set Microsoft.com/ABC or Microsoft.com/XYZ in enterprise mode or in default mode. So you can be very granular in the path that you choose to use enterprise mode for. The second reason that we chose to use an XML list is we realized not all the customer scenarios are for domain joined machines. One of the companies in the pilot is a very large insurance company that told us they had several hundred thousand independent agents. If their independent agents happen to be using Windows 7 or Windows 8.1, they wanted to be able to turn on enterprise mode in their environments as well. So that's why we chose to implement this as an XML file that could be hosted locally on the C drive, it could be on an intranet, extranet, even a public-facing website. And you could turn it on through not just the group policies, but also through the registry keys that are here. Now, the two registry keys correspond to the group policies. One of them simply enables it from the tools menu so that users can turn that on. The second group policy is a pointer to where the site list location is. And we'll go into more detail in a demo. All right, a couple of things here. I wanted to show you what the XML file looks like and also show you a new tool that we've introduced called the Enterprise Mode Site List Manager. This is an XML file that does have version control on it. The version is pulled down and stored in the local user's registry key. So let me walk you through, and I've got a couple of scenarios I'll walk you through, and then we'll go into a lot of detail in the demo. But the XML file itself can be managed through this site list manager. You can create the XML file, and it has a version on it. So the scenario is, if I'm an end user, I fire up Internet Explorer 11. If I've already cached a copy of this file, it'll wait a little bit, about 65 seconds, and then it will check for a new version of the file, wherever the location has been set. If there's a new version, and by new I mean the version number is different, it will pull down the latest copy to my local machine. And there's a little more intelligence than that. I'll mention, I generally gloss over some of the details, but this is the session where I want to go into as much detail as possible, because I think you guys are at a point where you'll appreciate this. If I'm a local user, and let's say I'm a pilot user, I've been testing enterprise mode, so I've been turning it on for some sites, I've been turning it off for other sites in my intranet. IT has been managing the central list and then pushing out updates to that list. Well, what if I've already set a site into enterprise mode, and meanwhile it's been updated to modern standards, so it's come off of the list? It's now, you know, someone has decided to flip the switch and set it, that site, not to enterprise mode, but to use the defaults. There is some intelligence here in that when IE11 pulls down the latest copy of the list, if there's an entry that I have in my locally cached file just for me, my overrides file, it will actually remove that from my local overrides. So there's a little bit of intelligence here. What we're trying to do is make sure that users can't step on themselves too much. You know, the compatibility view example that I gave earlier, where someone could step on themselves and turn on compatibility view, and then that becomes a you know, essentially a help desk call 2 years down the road. Enterprise mode, by checking the master list against your local overrides, will actually remove from your local overrides anything that exists in that master list. So we're hoping to help you avoid some of those help desk support calls. There's another thing that I mentioned earlier, and that's that the XML file includes logic on both sides of the fence. You can include certain paths or exclude certain paths. Because we were told that customers wanted to be able to say CRM is in modern standards mode or whatever the default happens to be, but CRM/old module, whatever that module happens to be, maybe it's based on IE8 or before era web standards, that one module should be in enterprise mode. Except for this one part of the old module, which could be also in modern standards or whatever the default happens to be. So you can get really granular on how the permissions are set, or you can set this at a domain level. You could continue to set this at a domain level. What we don't have in the XML file is an asterisk. We didn't want people surfing the web at large, going out to the internet in enterprise mode. And that's for a couple of reasons. One is obviously compatibility. One of the biggest compatibility problems today is that, you know, you can go out to a public-facing website and it doesn't render it in the proper mode. So we're continuing to work on that, but we didn't want people accidentally turning on enterprise mode and then suddenly going out and surfing the internet at large using this IE8 mode. The second reason is security. While we're not aware of any specific issues, I think it's safe to say that IE11 is a lot safer, a lot more secure than IE8. And so by enabling and emulating IE8, what we didn't want to do is perhaps open ourselves up to the possibility of now opening 11 up to an IE8 era exploit. You may have seen in the news, and I'm doing a session, I think later today at the Windows booth on browser security. So if you're curious about the vulnerability from a few weeks ago and how we address that, please feel free to stop by the Windows booth. I think I'm doing the session around midday today. But I will say this, enhanced protected mode, which is on by default for the immersive experience in IE11, was immune to this exploit. So it is a safe assumption that modern browsers are going to be more secure than older browsers. So surfing the web using IE11 and having it turn on enterprise mode as needed for the small number of sites that need this, generally intranet sites, is going to be a lot safer experience than just continuing to use IE8. All right, a couple of scenarios I wanted to walk you through here. One is, we know the biggest cost in upgrading browsers isn't necessarily in deploying the browser or even managing the browser. The biggest cost is in testing your web apps against that browser and in remediating those web apps. So the scenario here is, you could deploy IE11 out to a small number of users and turn on enterprise mode for those users. Again, it can be controlled through group policy, so you can turn on a group policy for an organizational unit that just includes those pilot users. Totally up to you how you wanted to manage this. But the scenario here is, you can tell those pilot users, go about your daily job. If you run into a site that doesn't work with IE11, turn on enterprise mode from the tools menu. If it still doesn't work with enterprise mode, turn it back off. And here's the sneaky bit. We can help you crowdsource this information from your own users. If you configure the group policy or corresponding registry key with a valid web address, it will simply send a post to that address every time somebody turns on or off enterprise mode. And you can capture that and collect it and use that to help build and manage your XML file. So in this scenario, IT could look at this file and help it, use it to help build this XML file. Now, we have some customers who have done us one better on this. There's one pilot customer, a very large retailer, who said, you know what, I own the desktop, but I don't own the line of business applications out there. In this case, they created a self-service SharePoint portal so that a line of business application owner can go to that portal, test enterprise mode themselves, but if it works, they can go to the portal and enter in the URL and presumably their name and the name of the app. And what they are trying to do now is automate it so that the information from that SharePoint list will automatically populate into the corporate-controlled XML file. So I think that's a great idea and maybe a best practice. And you know, you may not own the line of business applications out there, but you may own the desktop. So this is a way of kind of sharing that responsibility and making it as easy as possible to manage this list. On the other hand, we do have customers who told us, yes, we have 3,000 web apps. Most of them work already with IE11. There's only about 15 that we need enterprise mode for, and those 15 are very well known and understood, and it's easy to manage this list. From an end user standpoint, the other scenario is, once you've created the list, you can push the list location out via group policy or the corresponding reg key. Again, it's Windows 7 or Windows 8.1 running IE11. And from the end user standpoint, they just surf the web. They just use IE11, and it will dynamically shift in and out of enterprise mode as needed. Now, in this slide, a little simplistically, I've said edge mode. It could be edge mode. Again, we're not taking away any of the document modes. So if you have sites today that render in compatibility view, if you have sites that render today in any other document mode that's explicitly called by the website, those haven't gone away. Those continue to work. All right, let's switch over to a demo. And I mentioned earlier, if you do have any questions, please feel free to come up to a microphone. We are recording this session, so I want to make sure we capture all the questions and comments. Did you get that one, Chris? Okay. Chris Jackson is our app compat guru who may be helping me with some of the questions, depending on how technical they get. Yes, question.
I have a question. I missed the first few minutes, so it might have been explained. But could you explain, like, more architecturally what the difference is between enterprise mode and compatibility view for those of us who don't really know what compatibility view is under the hood?
Yeah, I covered it briefly. I covered it earlier, but I'll give you the 30-second synopsis just for reiteration. Compatibility view was introduced in IE8, and it basically renders a site in IE7 or IE5 quirks mode. If there's an explicit doc type, or if there's not a doc type, it ends up in quirks mode. But yes, there are numerous differences, and I went through the slide in more detail. Okay. I'm happy
check
to
check it out later. Thanks.
Yep, no worries.
I have a question over here as well.
Yes.
So I work for a software company, and we have an application that uses the embedded IE browser control. And how would you turn on compatibility mode per application, per executable?
Well,
does my question make sense?
It does, and there's two different things. There's enterprise mode and compatibility view, and they're confusing. Unfortunately, enterprise mode only applies to the desktop browser. We don't have a way of controlling or turning on enterprise mode currently for an embedded web control.
Really?
There is a way of turning on compatibility view, I understand, and I'm looking for Chris to nod.
I'm pretty sure there is. We use that.
We are. Now there is a question, and I'll be really candid about this. One of the largest healthcare solutions in the world is Epic. Okay. Yes. No, not at all. So we are aware that we did have some Epic customers in our pilot. And so we're very aware at this point that their enterprise mode renders the desktop IE and makes changes to the desktop IE. If you're running a Windows binary, in other words, it's a Windows application that, in this case, dynamically creates HTML content and then displays that HTML content within a web control, then unfortunately enterprise mode doesn't do much. But I know our engineering team is looking at the specific problems that we're running into with Epic, and they're doing some things to try to address those. Yeah, absolutely.
Quick question. For locally hosted client-server apps that don't have a full qualified domain name, can you add an IP to the enterprise list?
So for locally hosted, can you add an IP address instead of the... I believe the answer is yes. Yeah, you can't add a specific port. I think I remember a thread on one of the support groups that said yes, but this is something that I'd like to test myself. I've done too much consulting in the past to just give you a glib answer and say yes, it works, but we can try it. All right, let's go ahead and I wanted to show you the group policies here. If you're looking for them, they're simply within Computer Configuration, Administrative Templates, Windows Components, Internet Explorer. And Internet Explorer. And then if you scroll down, there's just the two group policies with the descriptions here. Let users turn on and use enterprise mode from the tools menu. And the corresponding one, use enterprise mode, i.e. website list. Again, you can use either of these or both of them. And let me explain why you might want to just use one or the other. If you are in an environment where you want to really minimize variability, you really want your users not to be able to turn on enterprise mode at will, you want to constrain that, what you could do is simply let users turn on enterprise mode as they're testing their applications, and then turn on the other group policy that simply points to the XML file for everyone in the organization. So at that point, IE11 would just work. People would use IE11 to surf the web, and if they happen to encounter a site that's on your list, it goes into enterprise mode. They don't have control over that. On the other hand, I've talked to some customers who've said, no, this is great. I want to turn it on for everybody and let them know they have this available as a tool, and every time somebody turns it on, I'm going to capture that, and then I can follow up on it. So there's lots of ways of slicing and dicing this depending on your organization's needs. Now, the other two corresponding reg keys we haven't created yet. So I wanted to show you, this is one way that you can enable this is simply on your own machine, is simply to create a new string value. One of the strings is enable. And actually before I create that, just to show you there's no smoke and mirrors here, I'm going to fire up Internet Explorer. And from the Tools menu, notice we don't have Enterprise Mode as an option. Let's go ahead and create a value here. And I don't know if I can, yes, I can rename it. I've created an enable value, and this is a little tricky. It's in my blog post and some other documentation, but I wanted to point this out. In this case, I'm creating this within HKEY Machine software policies, Microsoft Internet Explorer main enterprise mode. So I mentioned this because some people miss the policies. Once the enable is out there, then I should be able to fire off Internet Explorer, and if all goes well, I now have the enterprise mode as an option for testing or other purposes. So that's the easiest way, is simply enabling that one registry key, and now I have enterprise mode available as an option. And let's go ahead and walk through a scenario. So if I go to a travel site, this shows, and this is demoware, but this does have the logic behind it to do browser sniffing. So it's looking at the version of the user agent string and saying, well, you're using a really old browser, please update to IE8 because it thinks I'm using IE1 or something like that. Also, in the upper left corner, you'll see the buttons that say cancel tickets. This uses functionality called CSS expressions. CSS expressions was a way of placing content in a static location on a page, so you could even scroll the page around it and the locations would stay static on the page. Developers used that kind of functionality for things like buttons, for placing buttons on a page. CSS expressions is not a W3C web standard, so it's not something that is going to be working by default in IE 9, 10, 11. It is something we bring back in enterprise mode. So as a tester, I might go to this site. It's not working. Something's wrong. Now I know I can turn on enterprise mode, and hopefully it'll just work. And we have many customers who told us with the sites that they tried it on, enterprise mode, quote unquote, just worked. I've gotten that feedback two or three times from different customers. You know, that exact quote, it just worked for everything they threw against it. Now, again, it's not a panacea. It's not going to work for everything necessarily, but it's certainly worth trying because we really tried to fix the most common errors that people encountered. All right, now this is useful. But let's make it even more useful. How do you actually set up a collection point so that I can capture every time someone turns on or off enterprise mode? So let's go through that in some detail now. I'm going to go ahead and turn this off again so that I can capture it from the start. Now, this is based on a blog entry that someone created. I am not a coder, but I can steal or borrow or hack code as well as the next guy. So let me walk you through what you can do to set this up. The first step is, now there are numerous ways of collecting this, and one of our IE engineers, Nicole Birdie, is working on a way that she'll publish on collecting this within a SQL server. So you can easily collect this within SQL and then do a lot of things to it. This is the easy way. So this is the easy mode where we're simply going to be capturing this in an IIS log file. But this is really easy to set up, and it has the advantage of something that we can do in about, you know, just a few minutes. So the first step is, if I go to turn Windows features on or off. Now, ordinarily, you might be doing this on a server for testing purposes. You might want to do it on your own Windows 8.1 machine, as I've done here. And I can set up IIS. If it's not already installed, you can turn on IIS and take all the defaults. The only exception to that is within World Wide Web Services, application development features, I do have to enable ASP. So enable your web server to host classic ASP applications. So I checked this box, I hit OK, and a few seconds later it had installed ASP pages. All right, the next step after setting up ASP is to set up a website. And what I've done is gone into my computer manager here, service and applications, here's my IIS manager. And under sites, I can right click and choose add website. And in this case, I'm not going to recreate it, but I'll show you what the defaults were that I chose, just so in case you wanted to play the home game and create this yourself. What I've done here, I scrolled past it, there it is, inetpub. What I've done here is created a subfolder called Enterprise Mode IE or ME, and I also have assigned it to a specific port. So those were the only changes I made to the defaults. Was I created a website and I created it with a specific port so that I can capture just the information that's published out to this port. Now, I have gotten questions from customers who say, I have 30,000 users. I want to be able to turn on enterprise mode so that all of 30,000 users can turn it on or turn it off. How do I spec the size of my server? And I think the answer is, this is a very relatively low impact to a server. So the fact that every time somebody turns on or off enterprise mode, it's simply sending one post to this location, it actually is going to have relatively low impact on my network, relatively low impact on my server. But in your environment, I always encourage people to test. Make sure it works for your environment. Make sure it works for your network topology, the place where you're pointing people to is easily accessible, whether they're on the intranet or extranet or inside or outside of the VPN. You may want to think about some of those permutations. All right, so once you have the site set up, there's just a couple of things we need to do here. One is I'm going to check the bindings on it. So yes, I've captured port 8080 here. And the other thing is I'm going to be checking what I'm actually logging. So I'm going to double click on logging. And there are some options down here I can change, like do I want to create a daily log file? Do I want to, which fields do I want to collect? And in this case, I want to collect the date and time. I also want to collect the URI query. I think that's all I need. And then the ASP file itself we should look at. Let's pull that up. So I will add this to the blog. So if you go out to technet.microsoft.com/IE, you'll find a link to a blog file or a blog post that I wrote, and I'll add this as a comment to the blog. This is also taken verbatim from a blog that somebody created on this. So it's not original, but like I said, I can copy code as well as the next person. I also just modified it slightly. I think I added the words enterprise mode to it just so that there's no mistake about what we're actually collecting. One caveat, if you do simply copy this from a website, you may have to change the quotation marks. That's the only thing I really had to do to troubleshoot was I realized I was copying and the quotation marks were coming across as different ASCII characters. So it was worth a little bit of troubleshooting. All right, but in this case, it's simply appending to a log, the enterprise mode, the URL, and enterprise mode, that's simply, is it being turned on or is it being turned off? So that's what we're capturing. Once you have that file in your website, then the only other thing I had to do to get this to work was to restart the website. Once I did that, then it was working okay. All right, now we've configured the ASP collector point, but we haven't actually pointed the client to it yet. So IE is shut down right now. I'm going to go ahead and double click on this, and I'm going to type in HTTP localhost 8080. And here's the tricky part. I have to type me.asp. So this is pointing it to the actual location, the port, and the actual ASP web page that I'm trying to collect this in. Looks like we've got that configured right. And now if I start up Internet Explorer, I can go back out to my travel site. It's not working properly. As a tester, I would go ahead and turn on enterprise mode. All right, seems to work at this point, so I'm going to leave it on. And now let's go look and see if we've actually captured what we think we're capturing. Let's see here. Oh, I probably had to wait. Not sure if I had to wait 65 seconds or not. Let's find out though. I'm going to go ahead and turn it on and off again a couple times, and we'll see. Yep, wrong one. I actually like doing real-world troubleshooting with audiences like this because these are the kind of problems that you may be encountering as well. There we go. So in this case, it looks like there's a bit of a delay between IIS actually publishing it into the log file, but you'll see that I did turn it on and then I turned it off again, and it hasn't quite captured the on button again. But if you let this run, it will be capturing every time somebody turns it on, every time somebody turns it off, and then at some point during the day or during the week or month, you can pull it up and see exactly which paths. So this is at a path level. It's capturing HTTP localhost travel. And it noticed that I turned it on. And then at a later date, it noticed that I turned it off again. So I'm going to see if I can. There we go. Yeah, I just didn't give it enough time for it to actually push it to the file and get it out of the cache. So in this case, you see that this is a tester who maybe was looking at some different options. They turned it on for this site. They turned it off again. Then they left it on. So we can deduce that, okay, enterprise mode may be a good option for this site because the end state was that they left it on based on the time and date stamps. All right, any questions about this? Yes.
Question, is it also possible just do it to a local file on a server, just an SMB link, whatever, because most of the time it's an internal thing you are doing in the internal network. So is it necessary to do it to a website, or can you just store it in a file?
No, that's a great question.
An SMB link.
That's a great question. So the question is it possible to configure this so that it stores those local overrides in a file? Currently, it's being posted to a web location. So currently, it's just posted to a web location. We have gotten the question, can I somehow capture those local overrides? Because there is a local override list, obviously. The way it's architected today, that local override list isn't really stored in a way that's accessible to the user or to IT. So it's actually stored within a secure environment. So that it's not accessible. That is something that engineering is considering for the future, though. How can we make the local override list more readily accessible so that maybe it could be useful for you to capture the files that way? Yes?
We witnessed that you had a slight delay from when you made the change to when it came down. If the user actually has IE open and is viewing the web page, and you as an IT admin make a change to the file, is there a way to force the user to download the new file? Or do they download it automatically when they toggle on and off in the menu?
No, that's a great question. So there's a couple of things that happen here. One is we're not using the file yet. We're actually just using the IIS enterprise mode to turn on and off. So the delay was actually from the server. The delay was from IIS actually being able to capture that information and put it in the log file. So that shouldn't be an issue for end users. End users should be able to manage that. If you're asking about how often do I actually pull down that local file, though, by default, if I fire up IE11 and I've never seen an XML file before, if I've never pulled down an enterprise mode site list before, it's going to reach out immediately to whatever location has been configured, see if there's a file there, and pull it down. And by the way, if it can't get to that location, let's say it's a remote user and they're not VPN'd in, or for whatever reason the file's not available, it will silently fail. So it's not going to prevent the user from using IE11. It's just not going to pull the file down. If the file already exists on my system and I've already created a cache, it will fire up IE11, and then 65 seconds in, it will check for a new version of the file and simply compare the version numbers. All right, so let's take that next step and say we want to fire off the Enterprise Mode Site List Manager. And Here we go. So here's my Enterprise Mode Site List Manager. And I can add now, I don't need to search for it because I know it's not in there. I can add localhost travel. Now this is interesting because see what it did at the bottom with my path? It's giving me the option of putting everything in localhost into Enterprise Mode or taking the default and just setting travel as a subdomain into Enterprise Mode. Now when I say default, that doesn't necessarily mean modern standards. Enterprise Mode is an extra switch, if you will, for compatibility, but that means we still have all of the other compatibility features built into IE11, all 7 document modes already available, or you can run Enterprise Mode, Gesundheit, or you can run in Enterprise Mode. So by default, it really truly means default. It could be Edge. It could be if the site explicitly declares IE10 or IE9 or IE8 document modes, it will respect those XUA compatible meta tags, or it will force into Enterprise Mode. Now there's one other complexity here. I mentioned this is the most detailed session that we've done to date, so I'm giving you all the details here. Something to keep in mind is Enterprise Mode provides better compatibility for IE8 within IE11. And IE8 was the first version of our browser that included compatibility view. So, Enterprise Mode provides IE8 compatibility, and it still can run sites within compatibility view. It still can run as IE8. It still can run in IE7 document mode or an IE5 quirks mode, and it will respect those settings as well. Now, what realistically happens is if I'm running in Enterprise Mode, it doesn't know what to do with any document mode above 8 because that world doesn't exist to an IE8 browser. IE8 doesn't know how to handle IE9 document mode or IE10 document mode. It thinks that Edge mode is IE8. So the way that Enterprise Mode will handle this is if you're running IE11 and you're turning on Enterprise Mode, there may be some benefit for sites that you run today that are actually running in compatibility view. Does that make sense to everybody? It's an additional layer of abstraction, if you will, but there is a net benefit because of the user agent string changes and the deprecated functionality. If you're having problems with some sites today in IE11, it's worth turning on. And like I say, some of those sites may just magically work, whether they're running in IE5 quirks mode, IE7 document mode, or IE8. They may just start working. Yes, question.
On the XML from the GPO, is that a replacement or a merge to the local cache?
That's a great question. So there is a locally cached version of this XML file. If the version is different, it is a full replacement. So it's going to pull down a new version of the XML file and replace everything that's local. I will still have my local overrides. If we've chosen to turn on the tools menu, I can still have my local overrides, which is why the first thing it does when it pulls down a new copy is it compares the two. If I have local overrides that exist in that XML file, it will replace those. All right, so let's go ahead and save this, because I wanted to show you that it actually works. And we'll go ahead and save to XML. I'm going to save it as sitelist.xml. All right, we've got that file now, and I can bounce out to I'm going to my desktop, and I'm simply copying sitelist.xml into IIS, replace the file. I probably have to override it. Probably isn't the best way of getting files into an IIS instance, but Chris won't jump on me too badly. All right, now let's configure the second group policy, or corresponding reg key, to point to this new sitelist.xml file so that it's actually being used by Internet Explorer 11. So I can close out my browser. And now the other registry key that we're turning on is simply sitelist. And the value for sitelist is going to be, I'm pointing to a, actually I don't need a file, let's do HTTP localhosts sitelist.xml. Again, this can be on a local file. It could be an extranet file, an intranet file, public-facing web, completely up to you. But now that I have this localhost sitelist.xml, by the way, I don't think this works with the port number by default. It does need to be just a regular port 80 file, is my understanding. All right, now let's pull up. And if I browse out to travel, I'm dynamically going into enterprise mode. Notice the little icon here. This is primarily a breadcrumb so that your support desks make your support desk life a little easier. One question they can ask an end user is, do you see the little building to the left of the address bar? And if the little building's there, then it's being rendered in enterprise mode. At this point, I could actually take out my enable, and it would still work. So I can choose to use either of these policies or registry keys, or both of these policies and registry keys. And from an end user standpoint, so now if we take it from the top, close everything out, I'm an end user. I can just simply surf the internet, and I'm disconnected from the public internet right now. But you know, if I go to a site, by default, it's going to not use enterprise mode. If I go to a site that requires enterprise mode, it's just going to turn enterprise mode on. And I don't need to worry about it. I can have tabs right next to each other. All right, any questions about this before I switch back to the slides? Yes, a couple more.
We left the default use compatibility view in the intranet enabled. Does that setting have any influence on this at all? Does that need to be disabled for any of this to work? As good as it is?
That's a good question. Enterprise mode, again, is just another compatibility tool, but it's kind of a superset tool over and above all the other compatibility tools that you have today. So if you continue to leave the intranet settings on, by default, for compatibility view, it will, by default, run intranet sites in IE7 Quirks, or IE7 document mode or IE5 Quirks mode. If you turn on enterprise mode, that behavior will continue to be honored. So it will run enterprise mode, is IE11 emulating IE8, running in compatibility view. Now, one suggestion is, as you update your sites to modern standards, you'll probably want to turn that setting off at some point. In the past, it made sense. I think in IE8 era, it absolutely made sense to run all of your internet sites in this compatibility view by default. As you start to update them to modern standards, HTML5, CSS3, et cetera, you'll probably want to turn that off and just use maybe enterprise mode or some combination of enterprise mode and group policies that already exist for IE7 and for Quirks mode to be able to manage your sites at a more granular level. Anything to add? Wait, okay, another question?
Yeah. Just to follow up on that, so if you do have a site currently listed, like you know, in compat view IE7, and you list it in enterprise, it'll still stay in the IE7. It'll inherit the enterprise mode and then go to 7.
That's absolutely correct.
So they work.
Potentially be more compatible. Yeah. Okay. Chris says potentially be more compatible. Yes.
Okay. And then just a quick follow-up. So by leaving the option to turn on and off enterprise mode, I mean, just so I'm clear, couldn't you end up in the same situation where users have put something in a compatibility view and then they sort of forget about it, and then it could apply to the whole domain as well? Is that true? Or
I'm nodding yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, and that's why I say there are some companies that have said they don't want to enable this for their end users. They're not going to tell their users about it, or they can enable it, but you know, security through obscurity, it's buried in the tools menu, it's not easily discoverable. But absolutely, this is something that someone could accidentally turn on. And we're not preventing anyone from turning it on for public-facing websites. Not recommended, obviously. But if you have it enabled from the tools menu, what's the old saying? Nothing's foolproof because fools are ingenious. So you may have users who turn this on for CNN.com and then wonder why it doesn't render properly. On the other hand, there are companies who have said, that's fine, we want our customer, you know, our end users to know about this functionality, and we'll capture it. And if we notice that people are misusing it, then we'll turn it off.
And then just, sorry, one more, just so I'm clear, if they have created this local overrides list of sites by toggling, and then you have the site list XML. What happens in that case? There's an overlay there, or there's a comparison, and or
yeah. There's two lists corresponding to the registry keys and group policies. One is the local list of site overrides that I can do from the tools menu. The other is the XML list that I'm pulling down. When I pull it down, if I've created an override for that particular path and it exists in the XML file, it will remove that from my local override. So we're trying to avoid people stepping on sites that you're managing. That doesn't prevent them from stepping on sites that you're not managing. So that's why I used the CNN.com example. This will probably never exist on your intranet, you know, XML file. But if somebody's turned this on for a public-facing website, it will never get removed from their local override file unless you actually turn that off.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Another question, comment? Let's go over here. Yes?
Yeah, actually, if you have both registry settings active, does the site list override the switch?
Does the site list override the switch? My understanding is that the local overrides will override the switch. In other words, if I've pulled down a new copy of the XML file, and it still doesn't work, I can override that.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, question.
So I'm still hung up on the intranet compatibility view switch.
Okay.
If that is enabled, does that blind, I'm still kind of confused, does that blind enterprise mode in any way from discovering sites that need to be ran in enterprise mode?
I'm not sure I understand the question, but let me walk you through a scenario and see if it answers.
Okay.
So if we have the compatibility view switch turned on for intranet sites, and we turn on enterprise mode for a particular site, it will be IE11 rendering in as if emulating IE8, and IE8 will honor that compatibility view switch.
Right.
So it will be IE11 emulating IE8, emulating, in some cases, IE7 document mode or Quirks document mode. But the level of compatibility with some of those older sites may be higher because of the changes I mentioned earlier, because of the user agent string, the way that it responds to ActiveX controls, the way that we're handling deprecated functionality like CSS expressions. It'll be a higher fidelity emulation for some of those older versions.
But can enterprise mode then say, well, this site doesn't need the compatibility view, go ahead and run it at edge mode?
No. Just to be clear,
so
enterprise mode can determine if a particular path or site renders in enterprise mode or if it renders at whatever the default setting is. It does not explicitly tell in other words, we're not explicitly declaring edge mode. We're not explicitly declaring any mode. This is not a compatibility view list that's managed by an enterprise. This is either enterprise mode or it gets run in whatever else the mode would have been. Okay. Just a couple more questions, and then I do want to be respectful of your time and finish out some additional information. Yes?
So I just want to be clear also on the compat view. So you're saying that in running compat view on the local intranet, using enterprise mode is not the same as running compat view when you're not running enterprise mode.
Correct. Because if you're running compatibility view and you're not running enterprise mode, you're just running IE11 and compatibility view,
right,
it doesn't always fix the problem. It doesn't all, because you're running in compatibility view, you will be rendering sites in IE7 document mode if there's an explicit doc type, or in IE5 Quirks mode if there's not an explicit doc type. That didn't always fix the problem for our customers, which is why enterprise mode offers a higher fidelity of that IE8 emulation. Again, user agent string, ActiveX controls, and some other things. It's going to be the easiest way to think about it is enterprise mode will provide a higher fidelity of emulation.
Okay, so that running it in local intranet, compat view under enterprise mode will also channel it through all the enhancements within IE11, like running it through the updated, you know, let's say JavaScript engines and.
Well, funny you should ask, because I wanted to show you that slide. So I'll get to that in a second. So I wanted to walk you through this just to show you no smoke and mirrors. The demo that we just went through isn't really an end-to-end scenario. I showed you how to set up enterprise mode, how to turn it on for end users, how to set up a collection point, how to create the XML file, how to push the XML file out to an end user. and how to, you know, how to surf the web. So in end-to-end scenarios. The question was just about JavaScript, and I think it's a very good one. IE 11 is going to have more modern, the benefits of IE 11 are many, but some of the biggest ones are more modern standards, increased performance, improved security, and better reliability. And as I mentioned before, the vulnerability and exploit that were announced just a few weeks ago didn't even apply to IE 11 in enhanced protected mode. And I'll talk about that more on midday at the Windows booth if you have any questions. But I think what's really relevant for this audience is I was curious about performance. What I found was I set up two virtual machines on a server that I have under my desk. And both virtual machines were running Windows 7, 2 gigs of RAM, 2 dedicated CPUs. One of them was running IE 11 with enterprise mode. One of them was running IE 8. And I ran SunSpider over and over and over. And what I found was SunSpider on the IE 8 machine ran in about 8 seconds. This is a JavaScript performance benchmark. SunSpider in IE 11 enterprise mode ran in about 800 milliseconds, so an order of magnitude faster. And native IE 11 ran in about, I think it was 80 milliseconds or 20 milliseconds. You know, it was pretty fast. I forget how fast it was. So I wanted to show this to you, and I started to also reach out to engineering to ask them, all right, how fast is it really? And what I found was loading applications is going to be about twice as fast as IE8. So just getting the application in memory is going to be twice as fast. We've completely hardware accelerated not just JavaScript engine, but also text rendering and graphics rendering. So that's completely hardware accelerated where it wasn't before. So just performance alone may be worth the cost of admission to looking into enterprise mode. Because you may find that your IE8 applications run a lot faster in IE11. Now, I've mentioned a few times the pilot, and we do have some early results of the pilot. But we piloted this with some customers starting around October and ending in March, just before we released. Lots of different industries, lots of different countries. I commissioned Forrester to go talk to some of these customers because I wanted to make sure they weren't just blowing smoke. I wanted to make sure that they weren't just telling us what they wanted to hear, that enterprise mode was great, it unblocked their migration, you know, best thing since sliced bread. Doesn't work for all scenarios, but for the ones it worked in, many customers were saying this is great stuff. What Forrester found early on, and this slide's a bit wordy because Forrester insisted on the wording here. They owned this slide, essentially. But they found that in talking to some of our early pilot customers, the migration is much easier than previous upgrades. Testing and deployment are significantly reduced, and support takes less effort. User productivity is improved. Now, what they want to do is go talk to these same customers after they've deployed in production and then publish a white paper about it. So you can expect the white paper to be published around June or July after customers have had a chance to actually deploy this in production. But we're hoping that we have similarly positive results. Again, doesn't work for everything. For the situations where it does work, 80, 90% of the time, it's very successful. And I also want to position this properly. So Chris here tells us that with the current tools, the document modes and the other application compatibility tools, that he can get applications to work 95% of the time, 90% of the time?
All but six,
okay. He can get, using the document modes that exist today, he can get applications to work almost all the time. But it's not always easy for customers to configure. So for the remaining small percentage, we've fixed 80, 90% of those problems with enterprise mode. So what we're trying to get to is as close to 100% as possible. The Epic healthcare solution provider software is one of those exceptions. It's not really something we fixed with enterprise mode. It's something we're working on. There's another scenario we've run into, and I mentioned this just in case it's applicable to you. We had one customer in Japan who was running a portal that used modern standards, and within that portal, they were running an iframe that ran an IE8 or pre-IE8 web app. Enterprise mode will render everything on the tab in enterprise mode, or obviously IE11 can render everything in the tab in edge mode, but it doesn't handle those mixed modes within an iframe. I mention that in case this is applicable to you. In this case, the customer was in the process of upgrading. They had already upgraded their portal to modern standards, but they hadn't upgraded one of their apps that was rendered within that portal. So the temporary workaround, obviously, is to launch that as a separate tab, or longer term, finish their upgrade to modern standards. But I mentioned this in case it applies to you. It didn't apply for most of the customers with whom we worked. So the customer guidance, if you're still on IE8, please, please, please start evaluating IE11. I think you may be pleasantly surprised with what we've added in enterprise mode. If you're already piloting or deploying IE9 or IE10, you may find that a lot of the work that you've already done to remediate and test your web apps against IE9 or IE10 also adds value to IE11. So you may not have to start completely from scratch. What I'm saying is, especially if you're already testing IE11, enterprise mode doesn't take anything away from the work that you've already done there. So some related content. I mentioned before there are links on technet.microsoft.com/IE to a blog entry that we wrote. The blog entry has all of the links, including the exact patch numbers that include enterprise mode. Now, just to be clear, enterprise mode was pushed out to all customers last month through a cumulative security update for IE11 on Windows 7 and also as part of the Windows 8.1 update. The reason we felt comfortable pushing it out to all customers, consumers, enterprise, businesses alike, is it's turned off by default. So there's no net additional risk unless you choose to turn it on and choose to manage which websites get this enterprise mode. I'm also available later at the Windows booth. I'm doing mini sessions about 3 times a day on enterprise mode. So if you think of a question later in the week, please feel free to come by and grab me. And ask the experts tonight as well. I think we have an IE table. So some additional Windows track resources, microsoft.com/springboard, phone developer, Windows Enterprise, Channel 9 and TechNet, MSDN, some great resources, the Learning Channel as well. Don't forget to complete your evaluations, enter to win, gift cards, Xbox, lots of goodness there. And please do evaluate the session. The only way I can justify coming to these events is based on your comments. So please, if this is valuable, let us know. If it was not valuable, let me know that too. And I may not be back next year. All right, thank you very much for your time. Thanks, everyone.